Laura, welcome to the Heart of Connection podcast. I'm your host, Mark Randall, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be here at the Torquay Community House talking to you about the heart of connection to self, others, and all that is. Just by way of introduction, would you mind giving a brief story, your story, as part of the conversation, an intro to yourself, please?
Okay, thanks for having me, Mark. Well, a big part of my story, I suppose, is I have been here coming up for 18 years, so that is a huge part. And prior to that, I suppose I had a very checkered past and did many things. Probably what I like the best about here is when we talk about connections is the connection to people and to others, because we have so many opportunities to do exactly that on a multitude of levels. And so I suppose it's been great to develop the different ways that we can, or be part of that development, and the ways that we can connect with others.
In the development of that connection to others, have you come across a common thread in the various groups and etc. that uses the community centre?
Yes, I don't think it really matters what walk of life or what status or whoever or whatever you are in life. At the end of the day, we're all the same, and there is always that point of heart that people have to be reached on and that people want to be reached on. It doesn't matter what they're doing. I think that's really important to everyone, and some people camouflage that better than others, and other people wear their heart on their sleeve. But other people, whatever they come for, it's very important to make that connection. And I think that's something that's really important to people here at the community house. I think that's what a lot of people value.
How do you experience people letting those masks down?
Well, going back to what I just said, some people don't need to let it down. It's there. It's so obvious. And we get people who come here in crises, so that's always just below the surface. And then we get other people who come here for other reasons, but underneath it all, and that might take some time before you actually identify that. So I think it's just different in different people. Like, over the years, I've met so many different people, so many different personalities, not just the people that come in here, but that, you know, we've had over 1,000 volunteers here in the time that I've been here. So that's a lot of people. So you get used to different personality types and the way people express themselves or the way people do things to get in touch with what's important to them.
How important is connection to people, do you think?
It's vital. We don't survive without it.
Is that on all realms, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually?
I believe so. And if we don't, then we're out of kilter. And I think that's where you can run into problems. And all the research shows how important it is to be social. Like, even those of us that say we like our own space and like to be loners and all the rest of it, we can't survive. We are social creatures. We are one of a pack, and it's important to connect with that pack. So it is vital that on every level we do have that connection.
In our society today, are we losing that connection?
Absolutely. I think we're very lopsided.
Where's that lopsided come from? Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
I think we've become, particularly in Australia, I think we're very disconnected, and I think we've become very materialistic, and, you know, finances and things the economics of everything have become overly important to people, that they've lost that grassroots feeling of community and caring and watching out for one another. And I think we're a wealthy country, but we're focusing more and more on the wealth and not bringing everybody with us. So wherever there's wealth, there's always poverty. And I think in the past we were better at making sure those that you know, haven't got what others have got were brought along or cared for or looked after or nurtured. I think we've lost that as a society. I mean, it's happening all around the world, but I think here in Australia, we were the lucky country for a long time, and I think we took that for granted. But now we're not really the lucky country anymore because we're missing out on that level.
How might we start getting people back to connecting to their heart of connection?
Good question. I think people just through, for example, we just saw with the election that we just had, prior to that election we had an incident that happened in Bourke Street in Melbourne. And I think that really hit home to so many people because the victims were people that everybody knew. Everyone had a story to tell. And the government really took a approach of fear and hatred. And I think it backfired on them. I mean, they were using that as a tool to win an election, but actually I think what happened, people could see the writing on the wall, that if we go down this path, what are we going to become? And I believe somewhere in there it stirred everybody up because they thought, hang on, this is not who we are, this is not what we want. And I think suddenly, all of a sudden, community and everything that we stand for became important. And I think that's what happened.
So there's a sort of a community resonance.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting that resonance may not necessarily be intellectual, that resonance may be at an energy level.
Mm. Absolutely. And going back to that incident, people were really, really, really emotional about it. People that generally may not think themselves emotional. It may, that sort of starts to bubble up, I think. That's not the intellect, that's something that's coming from inside of us. And, you know, mate, it just comes up and you haven't really got any control about that.
The emotional health is really important. My belief is our emotional health is really important and it underpins our mental health.
Mm-hmm.
If we haven't got that a handle or a learning or the ability to sit and process that emotional health, then it manifests into mental health.
Mm.
How do you personally connect to yourself? Do you have a process, strategies, techniques to ensure you're connected to yourself?
Well, sometimes I'm better at that than not.
Yeah.
And it is a challenge in the work that I do. I can very easily get out of kilter because I won't stop in time, perhaps. And for me, how I have to basically go and see long horizons and, you know, walk along the beach or look at the sea or the stars or something, that type of thing, to just come back into check, to feel something more stronger than myself, more powerful than myself. And of course, there's all the other things you have to do, like just, you know, dancing or a yoga class or whatever it is that we do that we take for granted. It's incredibly important to do that and also to have fun. I think having fun is really important.
Does that get you out of your mind and into your body?
Yes.
Is that a beautiful process?
Yes. Yes, I love to leave my mind behind.
Yeah, that's I love that, you know, yeah, going from peace of heart, peace of mind. The heart's in the body, we need to embody in it. And yeah, I'm wondering what's it like when you do embody into that space. What happens to your body? What do you experience in your body?
Well, I think basically when we feel that what we're feeling is love. You know, without sounding all hippie and everything, I think at the center of everything is love. And when we let go and we're in that space, It's good for everything. It's good for everything in your body. For every cell in your body, it's good. And for your mind, everything. So, and that's what keeps that equilibrium in our mind, our emotions, our heart, on every level.
How much do you radiate that out in this community centre? Heaps?
Well, you get lots of opportunities. There's probably not a day goes past where you have to, embrace that.
Yeah, your energy is radiating through the essence and the themes that the community centre does.
Well, I don't
collectively.
Know. Collectively, because we're a team here and we are sort of a family in its own right here. The people that work and volunteer here are really proud to be part of this. And you see the value because you see people's lives, you see things make a difference.
So they've got a purpose.
They've got a purpose. And we see whether it's in an instant or in months, someone can walk through the door and literally ask for help and get help. And the moment they get that help can sometimes be overwhelming for everybody. And generally, everyone will pull together to make it happen and then everyone will have a little moment.
They've got them.
Yeah.
Energetically, they've got them.
Yeah.
There's that support, that love, that care, that passion holds that space beyond intellect.
That's right. That's why we're called the heart of the community.
The heart of the community. Yeah, and historically there's always been those centres, the heart centres of the community.
Mm.
And it is difficult in this day and age to have that. And maybe that's what sparked this podcast, is that heart of connection. You know, we can be intellectually connected, but to be connected at a heart it's not an easy thing to do at times.
Mm.
Because in that heart is there's the emotional fragility of all of us.
Mm.
And we've all been guarded with that maybe, protect it. But going past that, there's a greater space.
Mm.
And it sounds like before, when you go for your walks along the beach and connect back into your body, are you hitting that esoteric space that you were?
I always looking at the stars. Full moon's my favourite. It just is so incredible that it's just like, you can't help but feel humbled when you see a full moon.
Where do you go?
Out the backyard.
Literally out the backyard. Yeah, and when you're out the backyard and you're standing in that space and the energy of that full moon, because it can really radiate that energy, where do you go in your psyche with that?
Into that place that's bigger than all of us.
Mm.
And into that well inside yourself, which I suppose we refer to as our heart, but it's probably a universe within itself that is where we are all one, if you want, for want of a better analogy. That is who we are. And that part of us is all the same.
If we were to connect more to that, what would that energy do for Mother Earth?
Probably heal it. Generate a lot more gratitude, sensitivity.
More love.
And I think that's probably we'd see a lot of different policies being formed in government, a different direction. I think there's a real swell, as we can see at the moment. There's almost like, a battle of good and evil out there. There's so much violence and anger and cruelty going on. And I was thinking just before, even thinking about the growing number of women, the violence against women in Australia is absolutely overwhelming. It is an epidemic proportion. And we do have to do something. And I think a lot of that, as you would well know with the work you've previously done, men in particular seem to find it very hard to talk about their emotional well-being. And I think that's a lot of that has got to do with the violence that we're seeing against women and the lack of respect. So I think we would see a change there if people were to be more in contact with that inner world.
Yeah, and that inner world, it can be a bit esoteric or a bit, you know, they say in the positive psychology zones, a bit woo-hoo. But from that, there is a, you know, how do we tap the energy coming, you know, that's the essence. How do we tap the energy of that and action from there? And that takes practice. And because, yeah, I think we come back up into our intellectual and analytical mindset. And I don't know about you, I've found that the mind and the heart fight each other. The mind doesn't like my heart because the heart's got, you know, an inner wisdom and inner energy. And the mind's going, hang on a minute. Where's my control gone? And coming back to the experiences of men were emotional beings until about 5 years old. And then it's the patriarchal message or the whatever that message is don't cry, I'll give you something to cry about, boy. And so men learn to suppress the emotional being. And that emotional being is very delicate. It needs to be connected. But that's the fragile part in all of us, like a, you know, from a psychotherapy, you might call that the inner child. And that's where I think men have, we've got a lot of work to connect to that inner soul space or that space you were talking about before, because we can, it would change the world.
Definitely. I definitely think it would.
What would happen to the world when that, what could you see, what would you experience as that, more of that, you know?
Well, just wouldn't it be great if we could all work towards saving the world?
Do you remember?
I mean, it'd be great. I mean, who knows if there's the time to do that, but wouldn't it be, because human beings are so resourceful when they put their mind to something. They come up with incredible solutions to so many problems. It would be great to see the world united in trying to do the best to keep things going.
Do you remember the tsunami that hit on Boxing Day? Do you remember the energy in the that day?
I
don't know whether I'm got my heart out on the sleeve here, but for me it felt like there's so much compassion. The energy of compassion was just worldwide. It was just incredible. Why can't we have that without crises and without trauma?
I don't know, but I think, you know, we have so many conditions and conditioning placed upon us. And like I said before, in the world today, material things have become so important, and having status and getting ahead and being achievers and being successful is seen so differently as to how it was, you know, many moons ago. So I think those things do remind us and almost gives you permission to feel. Whereas, you know, it's compassion is almost a dirty word here in Australia. You know, we see that with the refugees and the asylum seekers and those camps, Manus and Nauru. You know, I hear it all the time. You know, that it's all that your warm and fuzzy stuff. It's not warm and fuzzy. It's basic human rights we're talking about, and it's about compassion and humanity. And we have lost our moral compass. And I think for many people, things like that happen, and they do see that that could be any one of us in that situation, because that was so powerful. And it happened in a place where there are people from all around the world. So people from every country were there. So it could have been anyone. And I think things like that, same with Bourke Street, going back to that, could have been anyone. I was in the street that night, could have been anyone. And I think that brings it home to people, our vulnerability, our fragility.
Are we afraid of that vulnerability?
Well, I think so. I think people think, because people are telling us it's a weakness. It's like, you know, when how they're referring to warm and fuzzy or you lefty greenies or... You know, it's like, it's not the norm, but in actual fact it is. In actual fact, we do care for each other. It's just like in your in everybody's individual family, or you know, most families.
Do we need to own and acknowledge our own vulnerability first?
Maybe. I don't know. I think it's just, to me, it's just a given. We're fooling ourselves if we think we don't have vulnerability.
Is there a bit more of an invincibility in Australia, this sort of gung-ho, let's...
I think it's just we take it for granted. I mean, when you think about Australia, apart from Indigenous Australia, we had, the war when they landed on Darwin, but we haven't really seen a war here in our country. Apart from the Indigenous people, or even depressions, and we've always had everything sort of here. Whereas when you go to other third world countries and things, and you see what happens in other countries, I think it's easy to take it for granted that, I'm all right, Jack, sort of thing.
Are we afraid of our vulnerability?
Maybe. I don't know if people, let's just say, for example, at the moment there's a move to try and get a charter of human rights in Australia because we don't have one. So that's incredible for a first world country. So people in school, some schools, lucky, weren't taught about our basic human rights. So if you're not taught about them, you don't get what you could lose. Because you've just taken it for granted that you can walk about this place freely. That's not the case in a lot of countries. So until you... And there's a push to get one because people need to understand that right. And even in third world countries, there are children in schools learn about their rights and they know what they're losing and they know what's taken away from them. We don't have that here. We just take them for granted.
If we come back into that heart of connection, to the depth of that heart of connection, do we need a Bill of Rights or is that, or am I being just too esoteric?
Yes, you are. We do.
We do. Mm. Because people come out of that space and they will just hell-bent on having power and control over others.
Yeah, and to see the equality, to see that women are equal, to see that everyone is equal.
We're all equal.
That we all equal, and not have the discrimination that we have in society, which we do.
Is it because we've moved away from the heart that we've got that discrimination, or is that just a fundamental biological reptilian brain sort of process?
Yeah, I think it's just something that's just gone along unchecked. I mean, we're a relatively, apart from Indigenous Australia, again, relatively young country in terms of white people, white settlers.
What's missing here?
A Charter of Human Rights.
Yeah.
Because that reminds people that we need to treat everyone equally.
Does that speak of the principles of the heart, the morals of the heart?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because then you have got a gauge as to what is and isn't all right.
A barometer, so to speak.
A barometer.
Yeah. Mm. And it's really interesting that what's stopping us from, once we have that Bill of Rights, the self-reflection.
Mm.
Where are we missing that self-reflection? Because we've all got that within. We've all got that vulnerability. We've all got that heart. I'm wondering what's stopping us from self-reflecting. Oh, hang on, I've overstepped a line there. Or,
well, I think...
Are we disconnected to that?
I think because our role models are so out of line. Like, for anybody, for young people, I mean, take... Like right now, so many people are disillusioned by the government, by what they're seeing and the actions. So if you're looking right now at what's going on, it's pretty disappointing.
And I'd also add to being disillusioned with governments, I also wonder whether social media is creating a disillusionment for young people.
Mm.
I was joking with someone. I said, you know, on Instagram, it's a competition of the best quote.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, what are young people seeing? What are young people needing to aspire to through that social media? And you know, it could be helping our connection, but it also could be helping our disconnection.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, public transport is a perfect example of that. I mean, I've always gone up to Melbourne on train every week since my grandchildren were born. My eldest is 11. And I remember when I first started doing that, you know, it would be an hour of chatting to people on the train. And same on the trams. And there would be that verbal communication. Whereas now everybody's on their iPhones, texting away or got the headphones on, and there's very little communication at all. So I think in terms of social media, it is taking us away from real life.
And real connection.
And real connection. And we're losing the art of conversation and communication. So I do think there is a lot to be said about it.
How do we change it? Conversations like this?
Yeah.
What can we do in the community from a community centre to help build that change?
Well, I do think we sort of try through our social media, ironically, to try and remind people of that. And I think more people are becoming aware of it, but having time frames or situations where people really, it's not cool to be on your phone or texting and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think there have to be boundaries there, which I think we can only remind people of those boundaries.
What happens to you when you get disconnected?
I probably get not well. I didn't say that very well, but yeah, I probably get stressed out, sick, get tired, cranky.
And that's a signpost for you to stop.
Mm. If I start getting cranky, I think, oops.
Okay. Then there's a process of... Mm. Have you come back up into your mind to do that? Or where have you gone? Are you more up in your brain, your mind?
Mm, definitely.
How do you keep a check of that?
Well, I do like to meditate. So... But, you know, I don't do that as often as I used to. I think it's pretty easy to identify that you're not right. And the people around you pretty quickly notice it. So.
And it's having the insight and the awareness too.
Yeah, I sort of just feel it in my body I feel it very physically. So, generally I know it. And the problem arises when you're not in the position to just maybe have the day off but none of us are, we all can be replaced. And I think that's a mistake we all make, that you think, oh, you've just got to keep going. But at the end of the day, you don't. At the end of the day, your health and your family are the most important things. And I think trying to keep that perspective is really important, but I think that work-life balance is the hardest challenge for all of us.
What happens to all that energy when you're standing at the back looking at the stars in a full moon?
Well, that's just a process, that's just a letting go.
It dissolves into the oneness of the energy of that full moon?
Because anything like that will stop you in your tracks. You know.
Is that something we might need to put in workplaces, into organisations, into policies and procedures somewhere along?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think, I mean, I say here to the staff, like, I mean, all those little things, like you need to get up and walk away from your desk, you need to get out of the building, you need to have a lunch break. All those sort of things are really important. And we see so many young people now, there is so much pressure on people, you know, mortgage stress, all sorts of things, and people's jobs have got to like work 24/7 and never turn off. And of course, the mobile phone makes that virtually impossible. But as a society, we have to change that. Like, it was really interesting. I was lucky enough to go to Geneva 2 years ago, and they have a very different work ethic, and they don't do overtime. They get to 5 o'clock and you knock off, and they don't work on the weekends. Restaurants don't open on a Saturday night. They have big lunches, that's it, and they're not open at all on a Sunday, which blew my mind when I first went there. That, what do you mean? We're not going out on Saturday night. They cook at home and have their friends over and have entertainment in their homes. And they're very productive, really productive.
And I'm wondering, as you're sharing about, you know, young families, the stresses of mortgages, you know, Torquay's got a lot of that, I'd imagine.
Huge mortgage stress.
Yeah, and the anxiety that would create. I'm wondering what that's doing to people's mental health.
Well, it's proven that that is a contributing factor to family violence. Mm. Yeah. Naturally.
And how do we start that process of helping people to stop? Because one of the things about the concept of mindfulness is important to get to. For me, mindfulness keeps it up in my mind. To get that mindfulness, I need to the discipline of meditation. But then if I started to use the concept of soul mindfulness, because it gets me out of my mind and into my heart, into the depth of my heart, and there's a powerful energy there, untapped resource. And our mental health, yeah, that's what's been coming through on the podcast a lot, if we can reconnect to that, that does do a lot of healing towards our mental health.
Mm.
How can we create this on a broader scale?
I think you can only do it from example.
Okay.
It's that old thing of, you know, clean up your own backyard and acting locally, thinking globally, all those sort of things.
Physician, heal thyself.
Mm. And one spark lights another. So I think you can only really do it by example. And it's something that I think we all need to, as a society, work towards trying to achieve a better work-life ratio if we can. That's an enormous ask.
It is an enormous ask. I don't know whether I'm being too esoteric, but the thought come to me one day is to, I'd love to have a World Heart of Connection Day.
Mm. Well, why not? I mean, we have all these other days. We have Are You All Right Day and, you know, all the days. So they just come from someone having that idea. So why not?
And we've started the Facebook, the Heart of Connection community Facebook group, to try and bring awareness and insight and support around that journey to reconnect to the heart. And yeah, there's so much energy there. There's such beautiful energy, and wish we could have it 24/7. But the more we practice it, I think my experience is we get better at it.
Mm.
And yeah, we will be vulnerable at times, and we may not have too much loving kindness, or we might be drained, and we will, because we do have a brain, unfortunately, you know, that mindset that gets us caught up, we get caught up in it. That's, I'm really keen to get some stuff moving. I don't know how to do it, but hopefully this podcast might be a start, to at least put the conversations out into the ether.
I think we've just got to be a little bit kinder.
Okay. The kindness is in our hearts, in all of our hearts.
Mm.
I'm wondering what our fear is to show it. Is it, if we show it, are we then too weak? Does the mind say, or the old mindset say, oh, that's a weakness, or you'll get walked over?
Yeah, I think it's like you were talking before about little boys get to 5 and then it's like they've got to be tough, and that's sort of what's happening on a global level at the moment. And I think we all have to be brave enough to say, hey, no, I'm going to remain kind. I'm going to, you know, remain open, and I'm going to, you know, keep fighting to make sure that compassion is not a dirty word. And we just have to bring it back to being kind to ourselves and being kind to others.
And we all want to be loved.
And we all want to be loved.
An essential element of being human is that at essence. Laura, is there any final messages that you'd like to share on to listeners out there, if there's any listeners out there?
I think just what I just said then, okay, to be kind to yourself and kind to others. And I think, it, you know, that great song, Dionne Warwick song, "What the World Needs Now Is Love, Sweet Love." That's the only thing there is too little of.
Thank you.
I think that's what we have to focus on.
Thank you for the opportunity to reconnect with you. The connection goes back a long way.
It does.
Thank you for being a little bit esoteric in the conversation with me.
My pleasure.